This is the Locked On Reds podcast. I'm your host, James Erpine, and it is great to be with you on this Wednesday. Yes, it's Wednesday. It feels like Tuesday, but halfway through the week. A lot to get to on today's show. You can subscribe, as always, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and every single podcast posted at LockedOnReds.com. Also on Twitter, at James Erpine, at LockedOnReds. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. What we do is we talk Reds every single weekday here, and obviously the Reds struggling as of late. They've lost 4 of 5. I'm James Erpine. I cover the Reds for ESPN 1530 and 700 WLW in Cincinnati, and there's a lot to get to on today's show. You're going to hear from Scooter Gennett, who was the National League Player of the Week, coming up in about 6 minutes or so. The Reds, they take on the Diamondbacks today. It's a final game of a 3-game series. The Reds come in at 19-37, taking on the Diamondbacks now, who are 2 games above .500. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned because this is a big, big, big start for a guy like Sal Romano. Romano has struggled over his past 3 starts. He's given up 18 earned runs, 22 hits, and 12 walks in 12 2/3 innings. He's not even averaging 4 innings a start, or just over 4 innings a start, excuse me. 22 hits, 12 walks. Think about that. Think about base runners-wise. That is 22 base runners plus 12. That's 34 base runners. Look at my math in 12 2/3 innings. And so he comes in today struggling a bit, but here's the thing. I'm going to put this in perspective. Yeah, Sal Romano's struggling a bit and has struggled a bit in his last 3 outings. But prior to that, I'm gonna read you how long he's went in games. And we can discuss it from that perspective. Because I think we look at the averages and we look at the past 3 starts. And now, oh man, what is wrong with Sal Romano? By the way, he's 24 years old. But let's look at Sal Romano. In his last 3 games, he's been bad. 2 1/3 innings. 5 innings. 5 1/3 innings. But his first 8 starts of the season weren't bad. In fact, the majority of them were quite solid. Why would you want to move a guy down that to start the year, and he was a question mark, but to start the year, the Reds were 4-4 in games he started. He pitched 42 innings in 8 games, gave up 18 earned runs in those 42 innings, 17 walks, struck out 26, 7 home runs, ERA of 3.83. His batting average, or the batting average he was letting opposing hitters hit, was 238. So it was low. It wasn't like it was sky high or something crazy. 238. And then let's look at the last 3 games. That batting average, 373. The Reds are 0-3 in his starts. He's given up, like I said, 18 earned runs in 12 2/3 innings. I get it. He's struggling. I'm not pulling the plug. I'm not deviating from the plan much. The Reds pitch, and by the time you hear this, we might already know. I think Sal Romano might have a very good start today, but even if he doesn't, unless there's something technically that with his delivery or his throwing motion, something that he needs to change, and that's why you think he needs to go down to AAA, there's no way I'm even considering moving him down. None. Zero. Zilch. No way. Why would you? Why would you? I said that with the wrong tone. Why would you do that? Homer Bailey's been dreadful for over a month. There's no one saying that Bailey can't move from the bullpen back to the starting rotation at some point. There's no rule against that. But to me, obviously, you want to get a look at Anthony DeSclafani. Sal Romano could be a part of the future. I remember saying on this podcast a couple weeks ago that I knew what I was going to get from Sal Romano, that we all knew what we were going to get from Sal Romano. And maybe it hasn't been the case the past couple outings. But overall, he's 24. Overall this year, he's pitched relatively well. Again, struggled the past 3 games. I get it. I mean, I get it. He's given up a ton of hits, 22 hits, a bunch of runs. Let's see if he can dig out of it. One of the more impressive things that I saw with Romano earlier this year is he would get in trouble early and rebound. His first outing of the year, he did that. I remember. He got in trouble early, and it was against Washington, I believe. And yeah, it was against Washington. I'm looking at it here. And he got in trouble early, rebounded, and only gave up 3 runs. got in trouble early a couple times early on, and he was able to make it at least an okay start. Go 5 innings. Go 6 innings. So do I expect him to go 7 innings today? No. But I'm also not moving him to AAA unless there's something long-term that he needs to fix. If it's just he's getting hit around a little bit, okay, the league adjusted to Romano. Let's see how he adjusts back. I'm not going to destroy his confidence. By the way, Brandon Finnegan talked about it. Oh, I need to be in the majors. I can't believe I'm in AAA, et cetera, et cetera. Did you see those quotes? I'm going to put those up at LockedOnReds.com. I just didn't want to give Brandon Finnegan the time of day because, well, let's be honest, he's in AAA because he struggled up here. But Sal Romano has shown some signs of life up here. And just because he has a couple bad starts, I don't want the Reds to pull the plug and send him down to AAA. Now, again, technically, if there's something that he needs to fix, okay. But if that's not the case, there is no way I'm sending Sal Romano down versus putting Homer Bailey in the bullpen. And maybe you do both. Maybe you do. But to me, Romano stays up here regardless of what happens today, regardless of what he does in his start against Arizona. I'm James Rapine. This is the Locked On Reds podcast. Make sure you check out LockedOnReds.com for every single podcast, articles, news, and so much more at LockedOnReds.com. Scooter Gennett, player of the week in the National League, went 12 of 24. I talked about him yesterday on the podcast. He did an interview with MLB Network and a future Reds manager. Did you see what I just said there? Future Reds manager Joe Girardi in on this interview. This is about 5 minutes long, and it's Scooter Gennett talking with the fellas at MLB Network.
Hey, Scooter, congratulations. So, you were Player of the Month last year. You were Clemente honoree, Player of the Week this week. You're running out of room at home for these trophies. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, it's Matt, but it's all good.
sorry, Matt.
No, I appreciate you.
Butcher told me Mike.
He got me back. That's him. That's Butcher. Hey, I want to ask you about the way the Reds are going right now, Scooter, because you're one of the guys with yourself, with Eugenio, with Joey. Of course, this team can score runs. It feels like the lineup's starting to click a little bit for us on the outside. Do you guys feel the same way?
Yeah, we definitely do. We believe in each other. We know we can hit, and our pitching's definitely heading in the right direction. They've been doing a good job as of late, I would say in the past 3 weeks, keeping us in a lot of ball games, and that's what it takes for our bats to come around. When they keep us in games, we tend to scratch some runs and make it interesting. Whether we win or lose, we're in most of our games.
Hey, Scooter, Preston Wilson here. How's it going, man?
Good, Preston. How you doing?
Good. You've turned yourself into a tremendous hitter. In my career, I had to learn one thing. I had to learn what pitch to take or what pitch to lay off of. What pitch was it for you that you learned to take or not swing at to try to put yourself in a better position as consistently at bat to a bat?
Oh, man, I still swing at some bad ones. You know, I think the biggest thing nowadays, these pitchers are so good. Their stuff's good. The way they attack you is good, and it's different every time. So for me, I try to keep it simple, and if it looks like a strike, I'm going to try to swing. And I try to keep it that simple. Sometimes I'll swing at some pitches I shouldn't, but when they do throw me a strike or something to hit, I'm more on time rather than waiting for it to look like a strike. I just out of the hand, if it looks like a strike, I'm swinging. And there's some times where it goes against me, but lately it's been working out pretty good.
Scooter, congratulations, Joe Girardi. In 2016, you hit 14 homers and almost 500 bats. Last year, about the same number at bats, 27, and now you're on pace to hit 30 or 35. What has been the biggest difference for you? Is it consistent playing time, even though you're getting the same amount of bats, playing against lefties? What has helped you the most?
I think a little bit of that. Mostly in there every day, playing against lefties, righties has definitely helped. It's a lot easier to stay in that groove. But really, the past few years, even the year I hit the 14 home runs, I've learned to just stay relaxed, keep my hands loose, not try to do too much. So I think that's just a little bit of maturing as a hitter. And also in the off season, my workout routine, I've changed a little bit. I'm working out with my cousin now, Brent, at a later date or at a later time in the day. rather than the early workouts. It just wasn't for me. And also, we got a good strength coach over here, Sean Marone. He knows what he's doing. So I just try to take advantage of all the resources, and then when it comes game time, just not try to do too much and let it happen.
So, Scooter, we're creeping up here in another week or 10 days or so on the one-year anniversary of your four home run game. And now with the perspective you've had, a year's worth of baseball since that great night for you, are you able to say one way or another that that was something that helped you, that just happened, or that kind of slowed you down for a few days afterwards? Because you hear a lot of people saying, boy, a three or four home run game for this guy might be the worst thing to happen to him. You know what I'm talking about? What's your perspective on that event now a year later?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, for me, when it happened, it was a little surreal. You know, I was like, wow, did I really do that? You know, a guy like me that at the time, I think I only had like three home runs going into that game. To be able to do that at home, you know, in front of family, friends, you know, the home fans in Cincy was amazing. And to be honest, I after the game, I was pretty even, pretty chill, and didn't think too much into it. I think it took me a little bit to hit another homer, but you know, I just looked at it as one of those days where, you know, everything kind of lined up, you know, and all that hard work, you know, showed itself, four at bats in a row. I want to say lucky, but I think anybody, you know, at this level, any hitter can hit a home run, and you know, baseball works out crazy sometimes, and ended up being four in a row. But you know, I know what you're talking about. Kind of like they talk about guys that go to the home run derby and then they, you know, might try to do too much or lose their swing. But I don't think that happened too much with me. And I think the biggest reason was I didn't look too much into it. I realized that I'm not going to hit a home run every at bat and probably end up going 0-for the next day. You know, that's just how baseball is. So I try to keep my my expectations, you know, around where they should be and not too high.
I love at the beginning of that he called him Mike. That was hilarious. The other thing that stands out is Joe Girardi. And Joe Girardi talking with Scooter Gennett. And obviously we've talked about the scenario where Scooter Gennett came out, by the way, and said he didn't want to be traded, which is interesting. By the way, I'm going to put that, as long as I can embed it, I'm going to take that video and put it on the website at LockedOnReds.com. But to me, Joe Girardi, maybe he does want to manage. Maybe he wants to come here next year. Maybe he manages Scooter Gennett. How funny would that be looking back at it, you know, 5 months, 6 months from now when the Reds name a new manager, and if it could potentially be Joe Girardi. One thing that I thought was interesting, Devin Mesoraco has hit the ball well for the Mets. I mean, really well, especially recently. And Mesoraco has 5 home runs, 12 hits, 10 RBIs in 15 games with the Mets. And a lot of those home runs, 4 of them coming in the 8th inning or later in the past, I think it's 10 games. I might be wrong on the games mark, but everything else I think is accurate. And the thing that he mentions is the hitting coach. And he attributes a lot of it to the New York Mets hitting coach. And I just wonder how deep the Reds' issues go. Barry Larkin has talked about the inner workings of this organization in interviews. And he's talked about how things need to improve if he's going to be the manager, things he would want to overhaul. And I wonder, first you have this. The other day, Johnny Bench tweets out about Homer Bailey's mechanics. What's up with these coaches? What's up with the development system? And it's not, I'm not the first one to question this, but how good are the Reds' coaches at the minor league level? Because that's where it matters. The habits, the developments, all of that stuff, that matters then. Getting the right proper technique and stuff like that. Hell, Jesse Winker can't play in the outfield. The outfield ain't that hard, man. It's not. I mean, there's basic fundamentals to it, sure. And not everyone's going to be Billy Hamilton. Absolutely. But usually, oh, fly ball, you know, the common fundamentals from Little League. Take a step back because you can always run forward, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I just wonder what these coaches, the techniques, the development, if they're going to have to completely overhaul things. Minor leagues on up. Minor leagues, the development side is so vital, so important. And this clip from Barry Larkin, it stands out to me. Here's Barry.
There's more work to be done, in my opinion. and hopefully I can be part of helping that work get done. And then at that point, if there's an opportunity, because I don't want to assume, and they think I'm the right person for the job, then at that particular point, I would certainly look at, be a little more accepting, if you will. I'm not really sure how to praise it. Certainly appreciative of that opportunity, but more ready. I only want to be in Cincinnati. I mean, you know, if there weren't opportunities for me in Cincinnati and there were opportunities elsewhere in baseball, I mean, I managed in Brazil. That's not a competitor. However, you know, if there's other opportunities, I would exhaust every opportunity with Cincinnati before I would decide to go anywhere.
That was Barry Larkin. In the beginning, there's more work to be done. That's not the only comment he's made about that. I wonder how deep the Reds' issues are. And I know he talked about managing in Cincinnati, and that's not what this is. This is a grassroots thing. And I'll get Doug Grave, RedsMinorLeagues.com. I wonder how the development is going. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it in between? I mean, right now, I mean, on the field, it's not showing. And you look at guys like Homer Bailey, struggling, but he's proven that he can be competent in this league. Devin Mesoraco, naturally, both have been injured. They're a shell of what they once were, but you wonder if it's a mechanics thing, if it's a teaching thing, if it's a developmental thing. Maybe that's why the Reds did move on from pitching coach while they did, and I forget his name, but the pitching coach while they also moved on from Brian Price when they did that. But you just wonder if there are issues deeper than what we see as fans, as media. Have to get Doug Gray on RedsMinorLeagues.com to discuss that. I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening today on the Locked On Reds podcast. A lot to get to. By the way, that video, by the time you hear this, should be up at LockedOnReds.com if you want to watch Scooter Gennett. He's wearing some cool gear, by the way. I want the shirt he's wearing in the video after he was named National League Player of the Week. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Also check out LockedOnReds.com. Until tomorrow, I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Reds podcast.